always weak. We are soaked in daily worries and heart that values material goods. In our weakness, we have been no better than the people in the world. We confess and repent. In particular, we confess how we are always generous toward ourselves, but we behave like Pharisees, demanding friends and neighbors to change. We experience this time and time again, but often we are not even aware of it. Lord, please forgive us. We pray that we will be led by the Holy Spirit in our daily lives so that we can live the lives of true disciples of the Lord, and our neighbors will experience the love of the Lord through us. Lord, we pray for our nation. Help us to remember the first love that was sowed with the blood of the missionaries 100 years ago. May we, the Christians, first recover our spirituality so that this nation will be born again as the land blessed by the Lord. Guide us so that each of us will first be the church, the body of Christ. We pray especially for Pastor Li Jiechul and our pastors who nurture us spiritually. May they be strengthened in the abundance of the Spirit and be guided by you. We also pray that your servants who offer their service and praise for the church will be filled with heavenly joy. We ask that this service will be a worship which is wholly dedicated to you. And I pray in the name of Jesus who loves us. Amen. There are some news and announcements we would like to share with you today. The church collected a total of about 100-liter sized bags and 2 boxes worth of expired medicine for disposal last week. These medicines were delivered to the pharmaceutical department of Mapo District Health Clinic and were safely disposed of. A collection box for expired medicines have been placed at the first floor of the main building, so feel free to use them. The 16th Yangwajin concert, which is being sponsored by the church to serve the local community and the greater society, is being held on this Thursday, September 17th at 8 p.m. in front of the Mission Memorial Hall. The violinist Lee Mi-kyung and many other artists will be coming, and the actor Lee Sung-jae will be narrating. A memorial service for Yangwajin missionaries and the commemoration of Rosetta Hall Diaries, sponsored by our church, will take place this Thursday at 11 a.m. at the worship hall of the Mission Memorial Hall. From 6:30 p.m., there will be a special opening of the public showing of Rosetta Hall Diaries exhibit. The Hall family and Wellborn family, who have been invited by the church and Esther Foundation, will be attending the event. Next Sunday is Social Service Sunday. From this year, in order to reach out to neighbors beyond the Mapo District, Social Sundays will take place quarterly. Please refer to below and bring goods to share to service teams who will be waiting at the entrance of each worship hall. The 7th Family Night will take place as follows. This event is being held as an opportunity to invite spouses and family members who have not yet received Christ and share an evening together. The tickets to dinner are available at the Fellowship Hall, and there are 200 tickets available on first-come, first-served basis. No fees for the events will be charged, but participants will need to pay for meals and snacks. The Newlywed School, which is for recently married couples, will be held. Please refer to the bulletin for more details. We will now welcome those who registered as new members of the church last week. We ask that new members please join the welcoming meeting and also stand for our welcoming song. God, thank you for calling new members to our 100th anniversary memorial community. This world teaches us to glorify the self. It teaches self-survival and how the self can succeed. But the Lord who came to earth taught us the way to humble the self and how one can serve others. Lord, may our community become a community of love that willingly serves the vulnerable ones. May our community first serve our new members well, so that such serving will give rise to yet another serving. And so may all of us live a valuable and beautiful life that is lived in service and ends with service. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. It is page 222 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed for 3 months. Because some Jews had plotted against him just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Amen. Paul, ever since being called by the Lord on the road to Damascus, was a youth serving people in the Lord and lived as a Christian serving people and ended his life as a senior serving people. Last time we meditated on how Paul left Ephesus and served people in Macedonia and Corinth. Verse 3 of today's scripture bears witness to the situation in which Paul, who from Macedonia spent 3 months in Corinth, left Corinth. Verse 3 says, where he stayed 3 months, because some Jews had plotted against him just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. Like his second gospel trip, Paul, on his third trip, ended in Corinth and intended to return to his main base in Antioch of Syria. Antioch of Syria is located near the southeast Mediterranean seaside of the Turkish area. So the fastest and the most convenient way to travel from Corinth on the southern Balkan Peninsula of the European continent to Antioch of Syria on the Asian continent was to take a ship from the outer port of Corinth, Cenchrea, and cross the Mediterranean. Paul, of course, planned to do just that. But the Jews of Corinth, who realized Paul was going to take the ship, plotted against him. We remember how about 6 years ago, on his second gospel trip, when Paul first visited Corinth, the Jews of Corinth not only removed him from the synagogue so that he could not spread God's word, but they also dragged him together to court and laid a case against him in front of the proconsul Gallio. These Jews, when Paul came back to Corinth in 6 years, tried to plot against him. According to verse 6, the timing of the scripture is right before the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread refers to the period when, in order to celebrate Passover, in which the Israelites were freed from slavery in Egypt, immediately following Passover, people ate bread without yeast for 7 days. Because both Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread came from the Exodus, and they both fell on the same dates and had the same origins and meaning, as time passed, the two names became identical in meaning. So that Luke chapter 22, verse 1, refers to both Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, saying, the Feast of Unleavened Bread called Passover. Passover commemorated the Exodus and was the greatest holiday of the Israeli nation. So many diaspora Jews who lived across the Mediterranean world came to visit Jerusalem, where the temple lay. Among the Jews of Corinth, there were those who on Passover took ships to visit Jerusalem. It was these Jews who found out Paul was going to set sail and plotted against him on a ship crossing the Mediterranean. On a ship, they could send Paul to a watery grave, and nobody would know. Paul had no choice but to give up a fast and convenient boat ride and travel by land up to Macedonia. From there, he crossed the Aegean Sea and returned to the western port on the Turkish continent, Troas, and headed from there to Antioch in Syria. So Paul had to take a detour on a distant, inconvenient road. We find ourselves raising an important question here. The Jews of Corinth did not publicly proclaim that they would harm Paul on the boat. They plotted to harm Paul. The Greek noun epibole refers to a plot. A plot is not something publicly planned or done with the object's knowledge. The Korean word for plot or conspiracy, eumo, is made up of the characters shadow, and plot, mo, and like it says, is a secret scheme planned without anyone's knowledge. The Jews of Corinth plotted in secret, without anyone's knowledge, to harm Paul on the ship crossing the Mediterranean. But surprisingly, their secret plot was exposed to Paul. Paul was not some sort of veteran secret agent with informants planted at every corner. But the scripture does not tell us how this plot of the Jews came to be known to Paul. The scripture simply bears witness to the fact that the Jews' plot was disclosed to Paul. This was because no matter by whom or what means the plot became known to Paul, this was done by the providence of the Lord. The Lord, in order to keep and protect his beloved servant Paul, by his means made known to Paul the plot of the Jews. This is not the first time such a thing has happened in the Bible. Paul, who was an aggressor and a persecutor of the church, was called to the Lord while he was going to Damascus to arrest and take away even the Christians of Damascus. He ascertained that the Jesus he had denied all along was the living Christ, the Son of God. Paul, instead of arresting Christians in Damascus, instead began to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was welcome news to Christians in Damascus, but to the Jews of Damascus, Paul was now a traitor to Judaism, an apostate, and apostates had to be removed. Acts chapter 9, verse 23 bears witness to the situation. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. The Jews of Damascus conspired to kill the traitor Paul. They plotted to kill Paul without anyone knowing. But part of Acts chapter 9, verse 24 bears witness, but Saul learned of their plan. Saul is the old name of Paul. The word plan in Greek is the epibole of today's scripture. The secret plot by the Jews of Damascus to kill Paul was also made known to Paul. The Bible is silent as to who, through what means, alerted Paul to their plot. This is because even then, in order to protect Paul, the Lord used his ways and means to make their plot known to Paul. Acts chapter 9, verses 24 to 25. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. Once Paul's whereabouts were unknown, the Jews of Damascus set a watch day and night on the city gate so that he could not escape. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, the Jews of Damascus even used a high-ranking official to guard the gates of Damascus. Paul was like a rat caught in a trap. But the Christians of Damascus, who had received the gospel from Paul, put him in a basket and lowered him from the wall. So Paul was able to escape from the hands of the Jews of Damascus who tried to kill him. This also was the providence of the Lord. The secret plot of the Jews to harm and kill Paul could not harm Paul, who was in the Lord. So the plot by the Jews of Corinth to harm Paul on the ship crossing the Mediterranean was also made known to Paul. And he abandoned his plan to use the ship and went by land on a detour from Corinth to Macedonia. Here we have another question. In order to cross the Aegean Sea north of Corinth and return to the western harbor of Troas on the Turkish continent, one had to take a ship from Neapolis in Macedonia, and the distance from Macedonia was up to 600 kilometers. It would have been extremely difficult for 50-year-old Paul in an era when the average lifespan did not reach 40, Paul, who was in bad health, to walk all this way. This was a rough and difficult trip, impossible to even compare with a quick and convenient ship ride across the Mediterranean from Corinth. Even though God let Paul know about the plot by the Jews of Corinth to harm Paul, it seems as if God made Paul pay too harsh a price. Wouldn't it have been better if the Lord had stopped the Jews of Corinth from plotting against Paul in the first place? Or even if they had plotted together, if the Lord had stopped them from getting on the same boat as Paul, wouldn't Paul, who was old and sick, been able to use this fast and convenient route to return to Antioch in Syria? But we cannot use such simple one-dimensional methods to measure the providence of the Holy Trinity God. Such means can never bring us to correct faith in an almighty and eternal Holy Trinity God. Let us look at verse 4. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, from Berea. Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. Paul took up a collection offering among the church members of Macedonia and Achaia for the church members of Jerusalem who are suffering from famine. Other than Timothy, who accompanied Paul since his second gospel trip, the list of names here appears to be the names of church representatives from each region who are to deliver offerings to the Jerusalem church. Verses 5 and 6 say, "These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days." The representatives of churches who were to deliver offerings went first to Troas across the Aegean Sea and waited for Paul. And Paul's group spent the festival of unleavened bread in Philippi and joined them at Troas. There is a word we must pay attention to here. The pronoun referring to Paul's group has been changed to we. The personal pronoun we can only be used when the speaker is included in the group. As we all know, the person who recorded the book of Acts is the Dr. Luke. When the Dr. Luke used the word we in verse 5 and verse 6, this meant that he was also in that group. Since Paul began his gospel trips, the first instance of the use of the word we by Paul's group in the book of Acts is shown in Acts chapter 16, verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. As we spoke of last time, during Paul's second gospel trip, the night he arrived at Troas, he saw a vision of a Macedonian asking for help. Paul accepted this vision as the Lord's call to Macedonia and took his group to Macedonia on the European continent. From then on, the personal pronoun for Paul's group is we. The Dr. Luke, who joined Paul at Troas, recorded the book of Acts and began referring to himself and Paul and Silas and Timothy as we. But from the moment Paul's group in Macedonia of Europe leaves their first visiting spot, Philippi, the personal pronoun we disappears. This is because Paul had Luke remain in Philippi and continue to watch over the Christians of Philippi, who were the first to receive the gospel in the European continent. And the reason the personal pronoun for Paul's group in verse 5 today is again we is because Paul returned to Macedonia, where he reunited with Luke, and Luke wrapped up his work in Philippi and began traveling with Paul again. And to the end of the book of Acts, Paul's group is referred to as we. The Dr. Luke who recorded the book of Acts did not leave Paul's side, and he stayed with him until the very end when Paul was executed in Rome. If Paul had crossed the Mediterranean by ship without any trouble from Corinth, Luke would not have been able to spend the most important final part of Paul's life with him. As verse 3 bears witness, Paul was trying to finish his third gospel trip and return to his main base in Antioch of Syria. But Paul, on his visit to Jerusalem, was imprisoned through the riots and the accusations of Jews who sought to kill him, and was sent to prison in Caesarea for 2 years, then escorted as a prisoner to Rome, and never again was he able to revisit Antioch in Syria. So if Paul had gone by ship from Corinth to Palestine, Luke, who was in Philippi of Macedonia, would not have been able to meet Paul again. And this would have placed limitations on recording the latter part of the book of Acts. But because Paul could not travel by ship but had to go by land to Macedonia, Luke was able to meet him again at Philippi and travel with him again. And he was able to observe in detail how he spent the last period of his life in the Lord. In Miletus, Luke heard Paul call all the elders of Ephesus together and deliver his last final sermon on this earth. Luke was able to see with his own eyes how the Christians of Caesarea, who, on hearing the prophecy of Agabus that Paul would be imprisoned in Jerusalem, wept and implored him not to go. And what Paul said, and how he bravely went on to Jerusalem. Luke heard the entire text of Paul's sermon to the Jews of Jerusalem who sought to kill him. And he also heard Paul's sermon in front of the procurator Felix when Paul was imprisoned in Caesarea. And also his sermon in front of Felix's successor, Festus, and the Tetrarch, Agrippa. Luke saw with his own eyes how, when Paul was being escorted as prisoner to Rome across the Mediterranean, the typhoon Euroclydon threatened the lives of everyone on board, and how Paul acted in the strong winds of death, and how Paul and not the captain saved the lives of 276 people, including passengers and workers. And he recorded all of these truths in detail from verse 5 to Acts chapter 28, the final chapter. This is over a third of the book of Acts, a large amount of work. Thanks to him, we know in detail what a great apostle Paul was, how he ended his life as a serving senior in the Lord. and what our faith should be like as Christians. How is this possible? Did Paul pray for this to happen? Or did this happen due to the will of Luke, who recorded the book of Acts? It all happened because the Jews of Corinth plotted to harm Paul, who was going to travel by ship to Syria. In order to protect Paul from the Jews' plot, God had Paul travel by land on a long road through Macedonia. To Paul, who was by the standards of the day in old age and weak and sick, walking 600 kilometers while camping out every night must have been like a walk of punishment. But this walk of punishment was actually a marvelous act of the Lord's providence, which through Luke recorded the Apostle Paul's final period of life in vivid and eternal words, in the Lord's written word, the book of Acts. The walk of punishment, which had an aging and sick Paul walk from Corinth to Philippi of Macedonia, where Luke lived, was the best road the Lord had prepared for Paul. A marvelous road of eternal grace. And this road of eternal grace ironically began with a plot by the Jews of Corinth. The more we think about it, the more the providence of the Lord transcends our understanding. Through 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul entreats us to give thanks in all circumstances. This means to give thanks in any situation. Even if though through the schemes of people who mean to harm us, we have to give up quick and convenient roads and walk the way of punishment. This road is the best road of the Lord's providence, a wonderful road of grace. Also, Paul, in his epistles in the New Testament, used the Greek word eirene, which is translated as peace, quietness, rest, happiness, 42 times. Ever since he was called to the Lord on the road to Damascus, Paul's life was one long story of hardship. But the fact that in his letters he referred to God's peace 42 times shows that his mind was always filled with the Lord's eirene, an absolute peace that cannot be broken by anything in this world. This is because he believed absolutely that the Lord, who transforms even a road of punishment into a marvelous road of grace, was here inside him and had his arms around him. Beloved brothers and sisters, do you know that our Lord is already within us in spirit and already has his arms around us with his word? Because he is with us, we are not afraid. Even if through plots and schemes, we lose the easy roads in life and walk the road of punishment. And even through great winds of death, we enjoy the absolute peace that the world can never hope to sway. Are you walking the road of punishment in tears now? If so, then give thanks to God. Enjoy the absolute peace the Lord gives from above. And let us walk that road firmly with the Lord. That road of punishment is the quickest shortcut we can take to get to the marvelous road of grace. Let us pray. For the Lord is within me in spirit and has his arms around me with his word. So in all things I give thanks. This road of punishment I walk now in tears is the greatest road provided by the Lord, who is creator of heaven and earth, for me. So from now on, I will not fear the road I must follow. From above, the Lord's absolute rest, the Lord's quietness, the Lord's happiness, the Lord's peace fills me, so I may live without being swayed by anything in this world. Let our lives, as time passes by, mature and ripen into an apostles' creed of grace in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.